T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Into hour number three. Number three. Braden, can you believe we've already been on for 2 hours? I mean, this has been the fastest show known to mankind today.
It's blowing by. We're hauling butt.
Yeah, we are, and we're going to get back to your phone calls. Everybody's got an opinion on the Chargers. What went wrong last night? Why are so many Steeler fans there? Would you take the Chargers back in San Diego if they came back, got on their knees and said, pretty please? Would you take them back to play at SDCCU Stadium till they could figure out what they're going to do for a new stadium here in San Diego? 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Would you take them back, San Diego? Would you take them back? Most people have said they'd take him back as long as Dean Spanos and Spanos' family didn't come along with him. Eric in San Diego, you're kicking off hour number three, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful today, Coach. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Give me your thoughts on this.
Well, you know, lifelong Charger Japan, obviously up until a couple years ago. Very sad that they left. Would I take him back? Of course I would. I'm not real sure about the current owner. If I'd want him back, it sounds to me that's kind of the direction that everybody else on the radio was gone. You know, my thoughts as far as watching the game, I still watch the Chargers. It's sad I watch them. I root for them to lose strictly because of the owners, but I cheer the players on. Watching all the Steeler fans up there, you know, I was a season ticket holder down here. And I've been to lots of Steeler games and lots of Raider games and Green Bay and every other big city team that comes to San Diego. And there's always a lot of fans there that represent Pittsburgh and Dallas. That's what makes San Diego unique. You know, this is a destination city for vacationers as well as from people from all those cities that move out here. People from San Diego generally don't move to Chicago and Pittsburgh and Green Bay, but they all come out here. So, you know, I respect the fact that they're out there to watch their team. The difference, I feel, is when you stick 60,000, 70,000 people in a stadium, 20,000 don't rule the stadium.
That's right.
The other 40, the 40 do. So the minute they moved up there, you know, I'm looking forward to watching Green Bay go to Carson because it's going to be a green stadium. And that's the way I think it's going to hurt the NFL, and it's hurting the Spanoses. And I hope they see past that because, again, San Diego is a great sports city. You know, we love our team. We haven't been the luckiest of cities, but, you know, I'm 51 years old. I've been a Charger fan since I was 6. I've taken my beatdowns from all my friends that are Raider fans and Steeler fans. And I just kept pushing forward. So, you know, yeah, I welcome them back. But, again, I think there's got to definitely be a different owner because I don't think the city will ever accept the Spanos.
And I agree with you on that, Eric. And I really appreciate your opinion and the scenario that you laid out. You know, we saw it, and you mentioned Green Bay. We saw it years ago when Green Bay would come in here, and there'd be people walking up and down Friars Road with cheese heads on, and they had, you know, a big group of fans here. And it's some of the, like, Pittsburgh and Green Bay, you know, New England, obviously. The 49ers are starting to gather that up, going back to the old Montana days. There are teams that are like that. They're historical franchises, but in a 70,000-seat stadium, they don't show up as much as they do in a 25,000-seat stadium like we saw last night. But, hey, Eric, I appreciate the call and certainly respect your opinion a great deal. Thanks so much.
All right. You have a great day, sir.
All righty. Good stuff right there from Eric here in San Diego. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Victor in North Park. Victor, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. You're on with Coach John Quintero on a big Monday. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, John?
I'm doing well today.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you my opinion on the Chargers.
Okay.
I come from the old ways, from the Chargers from 1961.
Okay.
You know, the good old Balboa Stadium.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, I feel kind of bad when they left, but for my opinion for San Diego to have a NFL team, I want the Chargers, if they were to move back, but with a new owner. Want a new owner. Because for myself, I don't care for Hispanos because he don't care for the fans. Only thing he cares is the money.
Right.
And my main concern is if I want the Chargers to move with the new owner, play at CSU Stadium, and then from there they will make a decision whatever, you know, they can play in the new stadium or they can. Maybe they can play at the new Aztec Stadium in the future of 2022 or whatever, you know, the stadium is built. But my concern is Spanos made a mistake, big mistake when he moved the franchise. And he knew it. And he's regretting it right now, John. He's regretting it a lot.
I would certainly think he has to have a lot of second thoughts because it has not gone very well up there at all. And last night was probably the culmination of a complete disaster. I mean, there have been, in the first couple of years, there were games like that. Earlier in the year, we saw a game like that, but not like last night. Last night was unbelievable. Total embarrassment for the Charger organization, total embarrassment for the National Football League, and people are talking about it. You can only, and Victor, thanks for the phone call. Really appreciate that, as always. But you can only tell people to shut up so many times. And that's what the NFL's been doing with their broadcasters. They're saying, hey, man, don't make a big deal out of this. Downplay it. Look for something positive to talk about. But how can you downplay when the fans are 80% for the visiting team, at least last night, 80%? I wasn't there, but I talked to people that were. I read a lot of the stuff, the articles. We got Eric Williams coming up here at 2:35. He covers the Chargers. Covered him in San Diego, now covered him for his third year up there in L.A. I mean, absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal embarrassment. And I feel bad for the players because they're the ones that have to go out there and have the old stiff upper lip. And they're making money. And I realize, yeah, you're not going to feel sorry for the players, are you? Because they're making money. Well, you know what? They're human beings. They'd like to be coveted like we used to covet the Chargers here in San Diego. You know, like a Junior Seau, Rodney Harrison. They don't have that up in L.A. Are you kidding me? They don't have that. They're just football players in L.A. They're nobodies. I mean, Lakers are going to get going to full bore here in another week. The Dodger players are celebrities. The Ram players are celebrities. Charger players are nobodies up there. Absolute nobodies. And by the way, our biggest fan called in today. Andrew South, congratulations. Andrew South gave us a call, so we took good care of Andrew. Let's duck in another quick call. Let's get out to Dwayne in Southeast San Diego. Dwayne, you're on with Coach John Quintero. Welcome to the program today. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Coach. What's up, man? Just a couple things I just wanted to touch base on. Rivers looks like he's kind of done with not having no fans. You know, he comes home to San Diego.
Hey, did you see him in the press conference last night?
Yeah, he kind of looked like he was out of, you know, it's been three to four years since he's been gone, and there's really no appreciation up in L.A., and then you come home to San Diego to nothing. It's got to play on him. Also, I want to ask, in comparison to how much the city is trying to sell this land to San Diego State, what's the difference in the price from them, the Chargers that wanted to purchase it back in early 2000s? That was my question, too, because the city is at fault for some of this. I mean, I don't like the Spanoses. I used to park Alex Spano's car. He was cool. but Dean I don't really particularly care for. And when is somebody going to offer this guy some money to get rid of this misery?
Well, you know, we heard earlier today from my very first phone caller, Dexter said that he had talked to some friends of his that seemed to be in the know with the NFL, and he thinks that the behind the scenes right now, Goodell is trying to get Spanos out of there, almost like a Donald Sterling type situation with the Clippers, that they want to get him out. They don't think he's a very good owner. Things are not going well there. We've also heard that they've already talked to people in St. Louis about, you know, their thoughts on bringing the Chargers to St. Louis. We'll see where all that goes, whether it's fact or fiction, but that's a story that came out earlier this morning. And as far as the money in Mission Valley, you know, I don't know if they ever really got to the point they needed to get money-wise. I know that, you know, Dean had they wanted him to put in $400 million. He was kind of balking at that. Why he would balk at that, yet pay a relocation fee of $500 million up in L.A., you know, I don't quite get that. If the Chargers wanted to move back, Dwayne, now they'd have to deal probably, at least for the time being, work with San Diego State. San Diego State, we had the young lady on last week talking about the stadium situation, and now they've got an independent person involved. They're saying that land for 2020 would be over $100 million. The Aztecs were thinking somewhere in the neighborhood between $67 and $70 million, and there are a lot of things that go into that, and the prices are going to continue to go up. So, you know, we'd have to revisit that whole thing. Rather than just throwing out numbers, we'd have to revisit that whole thing because it went a variety of different ways, and then it went absolutely nowhere, and that's when the Chargers decided to leave town.
You know what I say, Hacksaw? Here we go again.
Hey,
Dwayne. Thanks, Hacksaw.
Yeah, well, the Hacksaw not here, but thanks, Dwayne.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks, Coach. My fault.
You're welcome. That's all right. I appreciate that. For many years, I followed him, and he followed me, and I get where you're going on that. No problem, Dwayne. Hacksaw's out and about. I see him, and thanks again for the phone call. I see Hacksaw around from time to time. He'll hit me up with an email or a little text message, make sure I'm staying on top of my game. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973. Let's get out to John in Chula Vista. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan. John, how are we doing today?
Hey, Coach, good. Just a question. You know, this is the finest city in the United States by far on the West Coast. Just wondering if you heard any rumblings about maybe the city trying to recruit maybe a franchise from another city, maybe from an ownership group that's not happy with the deal they have there. What do you think the chances are bringing another franchise into this city? And I'll take your comment off the air. Just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, John. I think that's a very viable question. I think they probably have nobody out there. I mean, they can't even recruit people to have concerts at SDCCU Stadium. See, that's the problem with the city. They have no vision. They have zero vision whatsoever. You have to have vision. I mean, I look at what's going on down at Petco Park, and, you know, they bring the big tractor pulls in. They have all the concerts. That's become the cool place to go. Why? Because they out-hustle the city of San Diego. The city of San Diego should have someone morning, noon, and night down there on a telephone trying to bring big events. You can talk about how bad the Pechanga Arena is, the old sports arena, and what Ernie Hahn's done down there over the years. But you know what? They get good venues. They get good attractions down there because they've got a lady down there by the name of Kathy Padilla who does a hell of a job. She gets on the phone. She's got great contacts in the music industry, and they bring some really, really entertaining people to the Pechanga Arena. And here in San Diego with the stadium, nobody does squat. Nobody does squat. We can sit here until we're blue in the face, and we can talk about what Dean Spanos did, and I obviously don't condone that. I didn't want to see our NFL team leave, but the city of San Diego doesn't do squat as far as trying to bring great events to SDCCU Stadium. And now you say, well, it's not up to par. You know what? It wasn't up to par when they were playing NFL games and San Diego State was playing there and they're playing the bowl games. It hasn't been up to par for a long period of time because the city doesn't give a damn about that stadium. And if they would, the Chargers would probably still be here. I mean, there are a lot of people to blame. We'll come back. We'll get back to more of your phone calls. Stay with me. We're going to 3 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan. .222 on a Monday. Boy, a very, very fast-paced show today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Of course, we'll be in the rest of the week, 12 to 3. And Thursday night, we got our high school football show for you fans out there that are into high school football. Braden and I are on 9 to 11 on Thursday nights. And I want to get to the Aztecs. Nice win on Saturday night at SDCCU Stadium. The announced attendance, 28,758. Aztecs came back. They were down by two scores. Two big touchdowns, but they rallied back at 26-22. They were trailing at halftime 14-6, but they get the win. Good night by Ryan Agnew, 21-32, 209 yards, couple of touchdowns. Aztecs rushed for 120 yards on 36 attempts. Good to see Juwan Washington, even though he may not be at full strength with that ankle. Still a pretty good night. 23 carries, 84 yards, a touchdown. Also had four catchers out of the backfield for 28 yards, one of them a 15-yard touchdown. A very nice win for the Aztecs, who improved to 5-1, 2-1 in Mountain West Conference play. And they will play Saturday at Spartan Stadium at 4 o'clock against the 3-3 and 1-2 San Jose Spartans. But I want to talk a little bit about Rocky Long. Rocky had to feel pretty good about this win. And here's Rocky Saturday night after the win talking about how he knew it was going to be a very, very tight ball game against the Wyoming Cowboys.
I didn't script it like that, and I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But if anybody's been listening all week, I told you it was going to be a game like that. It's two very evenly matched teams that play a similar style of football. And I figured it was going to be close like it was. And I didn't know we were going to be down because I thought we were going to be ahead. But our players did a great job of hanging in there and showing some character and some grit and all those sort of things and kept fighting. And eventually they took charge and we won the game.
Well, early in the ball game, Sean Chambers, boy, you talk about a good-looking young quarterback. That freshman quarterback for Wyoming, he's going to be around for three more years. That guy's pretty tough cat. But they had their way with San Diego State early in the ball game, and here's Rocky talking on giving up a lot of rushing yards, especially early.
We missed two tackles that added up to over 100 yards rushing. Okay, so you miss tackles, you give up rushing yards. In the second half, we didn't miss tackles. The guys that were there to make the tackle actually made the tackle. The two big plays they had running the ball in the first half, we had a guy sitting in the hole that missed him. Okay, that's the running back one. And then when the quarterback scrambled, we hit him and didn't knock him down, or it's going to be 4th and 5. So it's totally missing tackles.
Now, in this ball game, I mentioned the young quarterback for Wyoming, Sean Chambers. He was only 5 of 14 throwing the ball for 109 yards, had a touchdown and interception. But he had 13 carries, most of them early, for 49 yards and two touchdowns. And here's Rocky talking about shutting Chambers down in the second half.
No, because they scored in the second half. I'm not happy unless they don't score. I'd be happy if we only gave up field goals. But we had some mental errors in the secondary that gave them a couple touchdown passes. Now, you know, I say that, and you got to give them credit too. You know, guess what? They have really good coaches, really good coaches. They have really good players. They have 85 scholarships like we do. I mean, they're a good football team, so they're going to make some plays. We made enough plays tonight to win.
Yes, they did, but how about that Aztec offense in the first half?
I thought the offense threw the ball well in the first half, pretty well in the first half, you know, and I think that you have to give, you know, obviously you give Ryan credit because he threw the ball pretty well, but you got to give about three receivers a pat on the back for going up and catching contested passes where they were covered pretty well and they went and got the ball. And that's a receiver's job, is to make a quarterback look good. And we had about three receivers tonight that made our quarterback look really good. That's their job. But we haven't had that around here much in the last 5 or 6 years, where we throw it up and our receivers go get it. in a couple critical situations too. I mean, you talked about the fourth down play. How about Jesse Matthews catching that ball on fourth down? And they were holding him. They were pulling his jersey, and the officials weren't going to call it.
Jesse Matthews, the young freshman wide receiver for San Diego State, 6 catches the other night, 73 yards, and sophomore tight end Daniel Bellinger, a couple of big catches, one of them for a touchdown. He had 2 catches for 40 yards, but a nice win by the Aztecs over a good football team, the Wyoming Cowboys. They are a good football team, no question about it. Okay, we're going to get back to the phones. Our phone number, 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973. The question of the day, would you take the Chargers back if they wanted to move back? Things are not going well. Everybody's talking about it, and everybody's talking about it in a negative fashion about their stay up there in L.A. So I want to get your thoughts on that. We got Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers for ESPN. He's going to join us here in about 7 or 8 minutes. Dave in Fresno, you're on with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. Dave, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Your thoughts on the Chargers, relocation back to San Diego. Would you accept them back if you were living here?
Of course I would, Coach. I mean, even though I live in Fresno, you know, I'm a lifelong Chargers fan. And that, as long as I've known them, they have been the San Diego Chargers to me, not the L.A. Chargers to me. So as much as I still rooted for Rivers and I rooted for Gates and I rooted for a lot of those guys that represented the blue in L.A., they don't deserve that. They don't deserve what they got yesterday. They don't deserve the fan base in L.A. to be treating them that way. They need to come home. They need to be in San Diego, and that's where the Chargers need to belong, is in San Diego. If they decided to move in, let's say, St. Louis, or they need to have a new name. The Chargers need to stay in San Diego and stay that way permanently. I would even be open to the idea if they want to – they're not even wanting to move the Chargers to San Diego again. Why not even have the Chargers go to Vegas? They would have a better fan base out there than just staying in Vegas and then move the Raiders to Los Angeles. At least, you know, the Raiders have a fan base in L.A. The Chargers have nothing going on in L.A. for them.
Dave, you know what? That makes actually a lot of sense because, you know, we were talking earlier, the number one team in L.A. for football is USC. The number two team right now would be the Los Angeles Rams, but I guarantee you if you put the Raiders there, they would push the Rams out for number two. SC's always going to probably be number one because of the history of that program and the legendary players that have played there, and people can relate to SC because they've lived there forever and ever. But I guarantee you, if you move the Raiders to L.A., the Rams would be looking up at the Raiders as far as popularity.
Absolutely. And, you know, Coach, I know Kroenke can't be looking at this. He's probably feeling nervous about how am I going to be able to sell tickets in this new stadium with this tenant that can't be selling seats at all unless to the opposing team. There's even reports showing that Kroenke and Spanos have had words with each other about the issues going on with the new stadium and him not being able to sell tickets. That's the reason why Spanos had to lower his ticket prices just to make sure people come to the games. I don't think that's what Kroenke wants. Kroenke wants a full stadium, regardless of who the tenant is. So if the Raiders are going to sell more tickets, that's more money for Kroenke in the long run.
Well, the other situation is, going forward, you're going to have to pay $1 a rent per year to play in Kroenke Stadium. But you know that thing is going to constantly – there are going to be constant problems. And, you know, if I'm Dean right now, you know, my dad has passed away. I'm getting up there in years. My kids do like football, but, you know, one likes it. The other guy, I think kind of mixed bag, I think, on one of the boys, whether or not he really loves doing it. I think John really enjoys it, but I think AG doesn't love it like his brother does. And I just wonder a point in time with the way things are going right now, if they just don't finally say, you know what, screw it, we're going to sell this team, and then you can get an owner, maybe bring him back to San Diego and make this thing work. But, you know, if I'm the Spanoses right now, man, I don't know where I'd want to go. I don't think I'd want to go out in public a whole lot, especially down in the San Diego area. Hey, thanks so much for the phone call. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Coach.
Good stuff, Dave. With that, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back. We're going to be joined by Eric Williams from ESPN. He covers the Chargers. I want to get his thoughts on what took place last night up in Carson. Coach John Cantara, we're going to the top of the hour. Thanks for joining me today right here on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
.37 the time on a Monday. Everyone's got an opinion about what went on last night up there in Carson. Chargers get beat by the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-17, but that really wasn't the story. The story was the Pittsburgh Steelers fans took over the stadium last night, and a man who is at every one of the Charger ball games, home and road, our good friend from ESPN who covers the Chargers, one Eric Williams, joined us on 97.3 The Fan. Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Coach. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I thought you were going to play Renegade coming into this. It just would have made so much sense.
Well, maybe next time we have you on, we'll play Renegade. We're going to make a note of that and make sure, Braden, that we do that for Eric next time. Hey, last night, was it 75? Was it 80? Was it 85? What was the percentage of Steeler fans in that stadium last night?
Yeah, I'd say conservatively 70, but certainly could have been more than that. It felt like it was more than that. I mean, it basically felt like it was a Steelers home game. There were a lot of Steelers fans there waving their terrible towels, and it certainly had an effect and an impact on the environment of the game. But again, the players have been dealing with that since they've been up here. They've had instances where it's been overwhelmingly opposing fans at the stadium. Philadelphia stands out. Obviously the Raiders. And so, you know, it is what it is. They just have to deal with that environment, know that it's gonna take place and battle through the adversity.
Eric, are the players really tired of it though?
Sure. I think they're tired of talking about it because they always have to answer those questions afterwards or heading into the game. They exist. We'll see if it changes once they move to the new facility in Inglewood and what that environment's going to be like. But yeah, it definitely wears thin on the players. And certainly I think it's wearing thin on 17, you know, who's playing out the end of his career and having to deal with that element week in and week out. I actually asked Philip, you know, if he was looking forward to being on the road next week. And he just kind of smiled and laughed a little bit and said, you know, we'll see what it's like in Tennessee. But yeah, certainly I think he's thinking, you know, if I was reading Phillip's mind, that he's probably going to be happy to be on the road and not have to deal with it.
We're visiting with Eric Williams from ESPN. He covers the Chargers for ESPN. Eric, last week I heard, and I don't know where I heard it, but did the Chargers, were they prepared for this last night with the Steeler fans? Were they piping in music and sound last week to during practice to try to get themselves ready for last night?
Yeah, I don't know if they were doing it this week because I haven't been around for the entire practice. We're just there for the first 15 minutes, and I didn't hear crowd noise when I was working in the media room, but they have done that in the past to get ready for the type of environment that they're going to be dealing with on game day. So it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't practice, but I don't know that for sure.
You know, Eric, we were kicking it around earlier. I mean, how does Dean Spanos, as he's watching the game and watching that these other teams, and last night, I mean, the Steeler fans, they came out in numbers. What is Dean and his boys thinking when they're watching this week in and week out in their own stadium? What do you think's going through their mind?
That would be a question for Dean and the rest of the family, to be honest with you. I don't know what they're thinking. They can't be happy, obviously, when they're watching it. But again, when they made the decision, they knew it was going to be hard to come up here and try to build a fan base in this market. And they're right in the middle of trying to do that. When I've talked to Dean in the past, he says they're in it for the long haul, that there really isn't any going back. And so I think they just kind of have to deal with the situation. Certainly it's going to be a topic of discussions when they have the owners meetings coming up, and we'll see kind of, you know, what news comes out of there in the next week. But, you know, they're going to be playing in Inglewood next year, and I think they're just kind of looking forward.
Well, that was a bad look last night, I thought, not only for the Chargers, but really for the NFL as well. I mean, when you're, you know, playing a home game and you've got, you know, 70, at least 70% of the visiting fans there, and you've only maybe got 30, or you may not even have 30%. You may just have fans that want to come to an NFL game that really don't have a rooting interest on either side. But that was just a bad look last night, I thought.
Yeah, not only for the Chargers, but for the Rams as well. I mean, they're playing against the Niners in a big game for both teams, and the majority of the fans, at least from reports that I've read, it sounds like we're Niners fans that were there at a much bigger facility. So, again, the NFL knew what it was getting itself into when they wanted to move teams to Los Angeles just because of the transit nature of the market, and the fact that people – when they look at the schedule, they want to go travel to Southern California and take advantage of the weather and Disneyland and things that are going on in Los Angeles and Southern California. So that's kind of what they got themselves into. They're all betting on the fact that when they have this new facility, that the things will change, or the environment will change, or maybe their pocketbooks will change in terms of the kind of amount of money they're going to make. So really that's what it is. It's a long-term play. Optically, it doesn't look great for the league. But, you know, I don't think the owners are too concerned about it.
You know, I look at the Chargers. I mean, they've got three remaining home games. They got that one game that's a home game for them, but it's in Mexico against Kansas City. But, man, their last three home games there in Carson, Green Bay, you know how their fans are going to come out. Yep. Minnesota's got a good contingent out here. And then, of course, the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. So it's going to be probably more of the same, to be honest. Maybe Minnesota might be a little less than right. those other two teams in terms of Green Bay is going to be just like Pittsburgh because, you know, those teams travel. There's going to be cheeseheads all over the stadium in Carson. That's going to happen. But I think it actually probably works to their benefit that they only have three home games left and they have a lot of games on the road. We'll see if they can win some of those games to kind of get back into it. They are only two games back in terms of, you know, Kansas City Chiefs at 4-2 leading the division. But the way they're playing right now, they really can't even look at that. They need to just try to figure out how to beat Tennessee on the road.
Eric Williams from ESPN, nice enough to join us on 97.3 The Fan. Phillip Rivers, I watched him, and you're sitting there last night. I watched the press conference. Felt bad for him last night. You know, he's got to be going through his mind, man, what did I sign up for here in L.A.? And, you know, he's got to make the long drive back to San Diego after getting beat last night. And, you know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And I don't know where this team is headed right now, Eric. I mean, this team could really go on a free fall sitting at 2-4. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, I just wonder at the end of the year, if Phillip doesn't kind of look at the situation, the Chargers look at a situation and maybe need to go a different direction for the long-term future of the Chargers and the short-term future of Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I think really the next 4 to 6 games and what happens maybe make or break, you know, what's going to happen with Phillip and how he feels about it. You know, he hasn't signed a long-term deal. And I think part of that is just because he doesn't know what's going to happen in terms of the team and the franchise and their window to reach a Super Bowl beyond this season. I think that's probably one of the reasons why he hasn't committed to it, along with everything that we just talked about, the fact that he's commuting from San Diego to Los Angeles, the environment on game days and what's happening to the team and their uphill climb to try to earn fans in Los Angeles. And does he want to deal with that at the end of the career, his career? You know, what's the best place for his family and ultimately, you know, where he wants to be when he's done with playing football, which is coaching his kids in high school and where he wants that to be. Is that going to be in San Diego? Is that going to be back home closer to Alabama in the South? I think those are a lot of questions that still need to be answered. And a lot of it will be impacted on how this team goes, whether, like you said, do they end up mailing it in and it's one of those 3-13, 4-12 kind of years, or perhaps it's like when they went 0-4 in Anthony's first season and they were able to start winning some games and kind of work themselves back into it. So I think it remains to be seen.
I'm glad you brought up Anthony Lynn and his 0-4 start because I gained so much respect. I always liked him as a player because he was one of those grinding type guys. But I had a lot of respect for him. The way he handled it week in and week out, here he is getting after a long wait to become an NFL coach. He goes 0-4, and every week he got to the podium and goes, we're going to get this thing worked out. We're going to get it fixed, and we're going to be a good football team. Well, right now, going back to his rookie season, you know, 3 seasons ago now, this is going to be the one point right now. The people are going to be looking to him for that leadership because this team really scuffling right now. They really don't have much of an identity. And now it's right back on Coach Lynn's plate. And this guy's a good leader. I really like him. I'm pulling for him. But at 2-4, he's missing a couple of offensive linemen right now. You know, he got some problems on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, talk a little bit about Anthony Lynn because you've covered this guy. You deal with him all the time.
Yeah, I like Anthony for all the reasons that you mentioned. He was a back-end roster guy, so he's a guy that's had to grind through his NFL career. And as a coach, you know, he's coached for 20 years, and this is his first opportunity to be a head coach, and he's trying to make the most of it. So I think players respect that part of it. He's a guy that doesn't waver in terms of his belief system and his philosophy. And so we'll see if he can kind of put his stamp on this week so guys will buy into what he wants to get done. I think two things that they need to do in order to get a victory on Sunday. They have to not turn the ball over. That's been an issue for them really through the first six games. So they have to manage the ball better. They have to get turnovers. And then I think one of the things that will help them that they did at the end of the game over the weekend is speed up the tempo offensively. Maybe go no huddle or 2 minute so that you can get the defense in those vanilla looks and get Phillip some easier throws. With the defense out there scrambling a little bit. So I know they talked about that. Both Anthony Lynn and Phillip Rivers talked about speeding things up on offense and perhaps they get to that. But one last thing I think that's really hurt them is when Melvin came back, I felt like they kind of changed the offense more to fit Melvin instead of continuing to do what was effective the first 4 weeks with Austin, kind of a pass-first approach. And I'm wondering if they go back to that as well.
Eric, last question I got for you. Can you give me an update on Derwin James, Russell Okung, and Mike Pouncey? Because I know he had neck surgery. He's gone for the year, and hopefully he's able to come back and finish his career on his own terms. But can you give me an update on those three guys?
Sure. Derwin's in a walking boot right now. It looks like he's doing well and on track to potentially be available at some point at the end of the year. Again, there's no specific date on when he – will be back, but he's got to sit out for at least 8 weeks. So maybe around KC game or after the bye week, we might see Derwin out there on the field. I think Derwin said himself that he plans to play this year. Russell Okung is still being evaluated by doctors, and so we don't know if he's going to return or not. The pulmonary embolism that he had to deal with over the summer due to blood clots, which could be career-ending. So we're going to find out more, according to Anthony Lynn, about Russell on Wednesday. Pouncey was really kind of a scary situation. From what I've been told, he didn't have any feeling in his arms when he was out there playing the previous week. Sounds like that's something that maybe had been an accumulation of things over time in terms of the neck injury. He went back to Pittsburgh to have neck surgery. I'm told that it went well, and he's resting and recovering. He's done for the year. We don't know if that's a career-ending injury for him or not. I think they're still kind of waiting for the injury to settle before evaluate it further in terms of his long-term prospects. But those are three impactful leadership players that the Chargers are missing and one of the reasons that they're struggling right now on both sides of football.
Hey, Eric, as always, thanks so much for the time, and hopefully you get a little bit of rest today. I know the ball club off tomorrow, but you're always working. But I really appreciate the time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, Coach. That's why they have 5-hour energy drinks.
Be well, my friend. Safe travels.
Okay, thank you. Have a good one.
There you go. A great guy, Eric Williams from ESPN, does a great job covering the Chargers, to say the least. We've got to get here shortly to our Hang a Star play of the day. Also, we've got to get to our Grand Slam giveaway coming up as well. But I want to go over to Braden. Braden, I know these aren't the final ratings from last night, but the overnight ratings you've got. How'd the Chargers do in L.A. compared to San Diego?
Well, according to Derek Torgerson at NBC, just across the street, he said, interesting numbers of the Chargers and Steelers game. It was the lowest-rated Sunday night football game of the year so far. Ratings in Los Angeles market were lower than the national average. The ratings in San Diego market were nearly double what it did in L.A. That's from Derek Torgerson of NBC.
Not surprising. Not surprised at the least. And we're going to duck in a quick call here. Tom in downtown. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're on with Coach John Quintero. How you doing today, my friend?
Real good. Real good. A couple points here. As for the team moving back to San Diego, I'd be in favor of it. sans Spanos.
Uh-huh.
Another issue is a matter of the team name. They were called back in 1960 when they, opened up business in Los Angeles. They were called the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's correct.
Before they came to San Diego for half a century, and now they've moved back up to L.A. I really don't see much point in changing the nickname.
Well, they played 1 year in L.A., and they all of a sudden decided it realized it probably wasn't the place for them, so they came to America's finest city, and now they decided to go back. And, I'd like to call the Chargers, ask them how that's working out right now.
Right. As to the way they played last night, they look like something we can't see on the air.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Hey, Tom, thanks so much for the call. Look forward to hearing from you again. You have a great day.
You do the same. Thank you.
I appreciate that phone call. We're going to get to Tony Gwynn Jr. here momentarily, but right now we get to our Hang a Star play of the day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star play of the day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
The 97.3 The Fan.
Shotgun for Devlin Hodges. Gets the snap. Throws it to the right flat. Slipping a tackle as Connor up the sideline. 10-5. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. James Connor putting on a show for all these Steelers fans and all those terrible towels.
That was the Hang a Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
I might as well stick it to the Chargers one last time with that play. Big James Connor out of the University of Pittsburgh doing a great job, a cancer survivor nonetheless, did it both running the ball and catching the ball last night. Tony Gwynn Jr. joins me in our 97.3 The Fan studios. And how about those Steeler fans last night?
How about them? I mean, at this point, it is what it is. I mean, the Chargers are banged up. Didn't play well. Played against a team that had to have a victory, and they had their whole fan base there in the stadium to help support them. So, you know,
I'm trying to get the Chargers to move back to San Diego.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. I really do.
Hey, we've heard reports that the NFL has been secretly talking with people in St. Louis about moving the Chargers there. We also had my first caller today, Dexter, called in and said he's talked to people that he knows. In fact, the Chargers. The NFL would like to Donald Sterling, Dean Spanos, and get him out as the owner of the Chargers because of the way things have gone up there in L.A.
Yeah, well, look how long that took the NBA to actually accomplish that. They were trying that for quite some time. And, you know, we seem to get these rumors kicking up every year that the Chargers don't play well.
Last night was so bad.
It was so terrible. You didn't hear as much about the Chargers moving back last year when they got off to such a good start. But anytime they get off to a bad start, I reckon that we're going to hear those type of rumors. And, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm going to need to see a whole bunch of mechanisms start to kind of roll before I'll get on that bandwagon.
What do you guys got? You guys got a big, long, lengthy show today. You got going into Monday Night Football, you got Detroit going into Lambeau Field to take on the Packers.
Yeah, I'm gonna need the Green Bay defense to step up big time for me, fantasy wise. We do have a big, long show, as in an hour and a half. We're gonna talk about the
stay hydrated.
We'll do our best. NLCS, ALCS. And we'll talk a little bit about what we saw over the weekend. Aztecs with a nice victory over Wyoming.
Yeah, how'd soccer go on Saturday afternoon?
It went good. It went good. My oldest daughter's team won. Everybody got victories this weekend.
So good.
Good. Yeah.
Everybody. Where'd you take them to dinner afterwards?
We went home afterwards. It was a long day.
When you go to those soccer tournaments, you're out there in the wind and the sun all day. It feels like you've been at the beach or something.
I was telling ex-Nady today, we were trying to get together one of these weekends. I was like, how about Saturday? I was like, man, by the time I get done with three games on Saturday, I have nothing left.
Oh, you feel like you've been at the beach all day.
Yeah.
All right, good show today. Braden, outstanding effort today, my friend. Adam Klug, outstanding effort. You callers. Tremendous effort today. Tremendous effort by the callers out there. We got Gwynn and Chris coming up. But before I get out of here, once again, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is venue. Text venue to 72881 for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. Again, the keyword venue. Text it to 72881. For Braden Soprano, Adam Klug, Coach John Quintero, I'll be in again tomorrow, 12 to 3. Have a great day. Gwen and Chris coming up next right here on 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.